Welcome, welcome, beloved listeners, to another LNL. Shortly, Bruce Shapiro, who's been doing a Serpico, who's infiltrated the NYPD and has got some remarkable revelations to share with us. Are GMOs safe? We're going to have a bit of a Barney about this. I'll be talking to a French professor of molecular biology who thinks that Monsanto is very naughty, versus Dr. Paul Brent, who's the chief scientist with Food Safety Australia. Well, Food Safety Australia, New Zealand. He looks after the entire region. And then we're going to find out whether the famous Venetian navigators, the Zen brothers, really did their famous Venetian navigation or whether it's all a furphy. But first of all, I have to alert you to the fact that I may not be talking to any of them. I expect to be arrested at some point this evening. I believe they're downstairs. They'll be coming up to drag me out and to rendition me to Guantanamo, where I'll be joining Bradley Manning. As you know, Bradley Manning is alleged to have handed over to WikiLeaks all those documents. Well, I'm caught between WikiLeaks and Stratfor. WikiLeaks, Julian, has just announced that they've got more than 5 million of Stratfor's emails, and he describes the company as a private intelligence Enron, referring to the Texas energy giant whose spectacular bankruptcy turned it into a byword for corporate malfeasance. He's got all these emails, and of course they're looking for the link. Well, I'm the link, clearly, because, as you know, it's on the record, I was approached by Assange when WikiLeaks was but a gleam in his eye and became the Australian board member and, you know, to give advice, not that he's ever asked for it. And we often have the boss of Stratfor on this program, George Friedman, the big cheese. He's been on a number of times and so clearly I'm the leak. So it's been lovely talking to you over the years, and I thank you for your support. Look, we'll keep going until they actually wrench the studio door open. Bruce, will you remember me fondly?
Listen, I think that when they go through these Stratfor emails, they're probably going to find that, you know, 99,000 of the 100,000 sources of information are all just late night live broadcasts.
I'm afraid so. You're on, but you'll be a character. No, you probably won't.
I'll do what I can, but, you know, I also, listen, the weather at Guantanamo is awfully nice this time of year. I really worry so much.
Come to think of it, I don't think a character reference for you would carry much weight. Tell us, would you be kind enough to tell us via Skype about the NYPD story that you've been serpicoing?
It's really been an interesting week here. I'm sitting in New York right now, and over the course of the last week or so, the intrepid reporters at the Associated Press have revealed that the NYPD has been conducting intense surveillance of Muslim American neighborhoods throughout the New York region, and particularly in Newark, city of Newark, where the NYPD has been taking pictures, eavesdropping on conversations in businesses, trying to assemble a database of Muslim-owned businesses, of neighborhoods, of mosques. This comes in turn on the heels of earlier revelations that the NYPD had been monitoring Muslim student organizations in the New York area, and indeed well beyond monitoring the websites of student groups at universities, which last week got universities like Yale and Columbia, where I work, in a real uproar. And you've had the presidents of a number of major universities really taking Ray Kelly, the commissioner of the NYPD, and the NYPD itself to task. The very pro-national security Republican governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, has expressed really real outrage at this. And Newark's mayor, a guy named Cory Booker, one of the smartest mayors in the country, knew nothing about it and described it as very sobering, a very sobering level of surveillance. It's emerging as a big scandal.
I would have thought your country is at greater risk from Romney and Santorum.
Well, there's that. But, you know, there is a kind of cycle to this stuff. And we'll get to Romney and Santorum, who are duking it out today. But I think this is particularly hot right now. First of all, because we are, of course, a little more than a decade after 9/11, and politicians and communities are trying to recalibrate our sense of civil liberties. And also, Muslim communities have grown a lot over the last decade, so it's an important political constituency on the one hand. Then on the other hand, within New York, it's a scandal as well because it ties in with something else. The NYPD is also being criticized for what are called its stop and frisk policies. Officers in neighborhoods are very often will just simply point at someone and say, "Hey, you, let me see if you have any weapons." And these frisks, these stop and frisks, are overwhelmingly African American. So this has got the NYPD on the ropes as well. And it's a question of how far you'll go for safety.
What's Bloomberg had to say?
He's kept a low profile on this one so far. I think he's waiting to see kind of where it falls. It's been contained within the NYPD thus far, although we had a bit of a taste a couple months ago. It was revealed that the NYPD had used a really anti-Muslim training film in some of its at its academy, and which was pulled very quickly, and Ray Kelly had to apologize for having appeared in this film. He was interviewed by the makers of it. So there is the potential for this to escalate, and I think for that reason Bloomberg has been kind of keeping it low.
Okay, let's do a belated segue now to Romney Santorum, because I understand that Santorum's been upping the ante. He's now dragged Satan, higher education, and abortion into the campaign.
Well, abortion perpetually, and of course he's Michigan has some very conservative areas. He's also took off in a way that was very controversial earlier this week after President Obama's education. Santorum homeschools his kids, and he went after Obama, who went to Harvard, or Columbia rather, Columbia, and then to Harvard Law School, and said, you know, these educational elitists are ruining the country, basically. This got even a lot of Republicans uncomfortable, since after all there are people with college degrees in the Republican Party as well. But it's typical of the kind of conservative populism, the culture war populism that Santorum has been playing. Satan is actually an older quote, but that has reemerged. Back in 2008, Santorum warned that Satan was infecting American culture, and this is going to be a problem. I think Satan on the campaign trail is this is a new one. And it is going to be an issue. And on the other hand, Romney, Santorum will do okay no matter what, whether he comes in first or second. Romney, this is a make or break day today, the Michigan primary. After all, he is from Michigan, more or less, to the extent that he's from anywhere. He put a lot of resources into it. And the feeling is that if he actually comes in second to Santorum in what has been a neck-and-neck race, his presumptive status as front runner actually vanishes. He really goes behind the eight ball in a certain way.
Now, this time last week, we were discussing the that walking paradox of what's his name? Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
He's going to come in a strong third, apparently, in Michigan.
He will. Michigan has a strong Ron Paul constituency. He's been putting some money into it. I don't think he's a swing constituency in the sense that I don't think his people are pulling much away from Santorum or Romney. Maybe some from Santorum. But I think rather what Paul is doing in Michigan, as he's doing elsewhere, is bringing in Republican primary voters who otherwise would feel alienated from the party and from the process.
One of the things we haven't discussed, Bruce, is just how significant a factor the Romney's religious persuasions play in all of this. Does the hardline Christian right really, really get upset about Romney's beliefs?
Well, Romney is of course a Mormon, and the hard Christian right within the Republican Party does have a problem with this. There have been a series of meetings involving high-level evangelists and political leaders trying to figure out what their position should be. They don't want to seem to be anti-Mormon, and yet, as a theological matter, many of these denominations believe that Mormons are not Christians. And this has complicated politics. There's also been criticism of Romney's beliefs, I should say, from the left, from liberals, who say he's more dedicated, that his first affiliation will be to the Mormon Church. This makes me uncomfortable.
Well, that takes us back to Jack Kennedy's famous declaration about the separation of church and state. And his motivation, of course, when campaigning, was to make the point that he would be a president for America first and a Catholic second. Now, this takes us back to Santorum, who's up the ante here by absolutely condemning that fairly harmless statement, I would have thought, constitutionally correct statement by Kennedy.
He did. In fact, he described himself as having been nauseated by Kennedy's speech. And I think that what Santorum is doing there, which is really very cynical, is making a direct appeal a coded appeal to fundamentalist Christians who are worried about Romney being a Mormon. It is a bigoted appeal, and I do think that it's notable to have had Romney as such a serious presidential candidate, and it's an ugly, intolerant stream of American life, and it does harken back to Jack Kennedy, and it wasn't just Kennedy's speech that made his campaign in 1960 and his victory as the first Catholic president so notable. It was how much overt bigotry there really was at that time. How many people were saying he really is going to listen to the Pope first. And his, his brother Ted, when Ted was a senator, contended with this all the time. And in fact, made himself the enemy of the church in some ways on issues like abortion rights and contraception. Romney has been a bishop, an elder in the Mormon Church. He's very active. He was a missionary. His parents were missionary. His father was born in Mexico, where the family had been working. It's a huge part of his life. And it is true that how Mormonism relates to mainstream Christianity in the U.S. is a complicated matter, but it's disturbing to find the amount of religious alarmism out there right now.
I consider myself disturbed, and thank you very much, Bruce. You came to us via Skype, and next week we'll be talking to him from London. This is LNL, the broadcasting arm of WikiLeaks on RN. And coming up, are GMOs safe? And I must warn my guest, we will WikiLeak anything they say immediately. My guests will be, incidentally, Professor Gilles Saralini and Dr. Paul Brett.